Hi, and welcome to NWR Newscast, episode 27. I am your host, Neil Ronahan, and with me, as always, is the rest of the gang, including Andy, who's back from Washington, where he saw football play
in some form. That was
awesome.
And
we got Nathan, who is in California, apparently it's very, very hot.
It is, and I've also been bumped up one on the introduction list. Take that, Zach.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's because Zach is on the rightmost of the Skype screen, so I've just been going through that. Sorry, Zach, I think it's alphabetical,
so cool.
You're kind of fucked.
No, that's harsh.
And that, you're just hearing Zachary Miller, the man with the plan from Alaska.
Mm.
So let's just dive right into this shit, because we got a bunch of news, because over in Japan at about 1 o'clock in the morning Eastern time, there was a press conference that was all about the 3DS and other Nintendo stuff. Basically, I guess, Japan's version of E3 this year.
Oh, see, I thought it was about the PSP 2.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was the big rumor, but... let's dive right into it. 3DS is not coming out this year anywhere. It is coming out on February 26, 2011 in Japan for 25,000 yen, which is about $300. But don't all of you worry about the system being $300 in North America, because there was another system that came out in North America that was also priced at 25,000 yen. And yes, it's been 4 years since the Wii came out, but the Wii was originally listed for 25,000 yen. In Japan, and it came out at 250 in North America. So I'd say it's not really necessarily like 100% accurate, but I think it's going to be 250. What do you guys say?
Yeah, I think 250 is a likely price. I do think it's probably a bit much. Like, that's awfully pricey for a handheld. I think
I agree.
I mean, the PSP's done it for a while, but
and
yeah,
the PSP,
but I mean,
PSP
I think
is not exactly sold gangbusters either.
Yeah.
Well, if you guys think about this, though, like, how much was the DSi and the DSi XL when they came out? DSi was 170 and the XL was 180, 190?
Yeah. The answer to that question is also two.
They were also, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but they still sold a shit ton. And the 3DS has even more going for it than the XL and the DSi.
I
don't doubt it'll sell well at all. I just think it's a little too
expensive. I personally think we might see a price drop on the 3DS a little quicker. I mean, depending on how sales go. For all we know, like, it won't matter to people, and it's just going to sell shit tons, which is probably going to be the case early on, but we'll see how long that lasts. But that is a debate for when the system's actually out in North America and Europe, which should be happening in March 2011. That was pretty much confirmed at this event. They didn't give specific dates, but if, like, past history is...
Any indication.
Then I wouldn't be surprised if, like, first half of March we see it come out in North America, because, I mean, generally, with the exception of, like, you know, how the DSi XL and how the 3DS was rumored to be out in November, if they're going to come out around the same time, it's always, like, within a week or two of each other. Like, once again, with the Wii, it came out in late November in North America, and then came out in early December everywhere else.
Yeah.
So...
they're going to
have
to push demo,
like,
units really hard to get people excited about a $250 system.
I don't think they're going to have to do that much other than be like, guys, it's in 3D. Did you like Avatar? Because you'll like this.
But you can't see it.
It's going to be important.
This is something people are going
to
have
to
see in Best
Buy. Yeah, there will be demo units out there, no doubt. They have to, or else then the system... because the system can't just survive on hype.
Yeah, I almost kind of feel like the fact that it's the new DS carries as much weight as the fact that it's 3D.
I think it's
arguably the most successful game system of the past.
And even if you just look
at
the graphics of the system not in 3D, it's beautiful.
Yeah,
but the DSi sold worse than DS Lite, and the DS XL sold worse than the DSi. So
that's
right.
Which is still like a bajillion fucking units.
Sure, but I don't think the DS brand alone will get it through spectacular sales numbers.
I think it will.
It depends.
Well, also how it's... They will market it as a brand new system.
Oh, yeah.
And yes,
they will.
The next line in the DS, but it's like Game Boy to Game Boy Advance.
Sure, that's a good point, yeah.
They need to market it as the new, like, the next thing since the original DS. Like, if they market it as the next evolution, or not the next evolution, that's the wrong word.
The next iteration.
The next iteration, thank you. Then yeah, I think the DS brand has a lot of weight, and I don't know that they ever really marketed the DSi as the next big thing. It was just a slight modification of what was already there.
I really think that the second you see the 3D effect, you're sold, and I think that they're going to have
to have
it.
True.
it will sell without, you know, people being able to play it beforehand, but if they do play it, they most likely will buy it.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a feeling what we're going to see is probably January, February 2011, some point there, there will be we'll guarantee you
there
we will
be.
Know the release date by I wouldn't be surprised if something comes out like late December, but definitely by the end of January we will know, like, all right, this is what's going to be coming out in March alongside the system. This is the exact date. This is the price. And I think we're going to be seeing demo units rolled out probably in February. And I think that's all they need to do is just show people. It's like, look at how fucking cool this is.
Yeah.
And you can play Ocarina of Time in 3D.
Well,
and,
even Nintendo has admitted
that's not
that.
Necessarily all for me, but it's kind of like how to relate this to GoldenEye, which we talked about last episode, where people that I know that aren't really into video games that much anymore, like, are, like, frothing at the mouth for the new GoldenEye, and they're also frothing at I can't fucking say that word. They're also very excited for Ocarina of Time in 3D. Even though they've played the game countless times, it doesn't matter. People are really nostalgic.
And they don't even have to have a playable thing in a booth at Best Buy. They can just show a video. And it's like,
yeah,
stand
they just have
right
a
here
so.
And crap your pants.
Oh,
I,
a video
I mean,
on the
I,
unit. Yeah, that makes sense.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
know,
like
even Nintendo
Wii's.
Admitted that they don't know what to do for advertisement with this. That's why they made the retarded, Reggie being sucked into DS advertisement.
Yeah.
That basically.
And I think they
said,
did something similar at this event, but I didn't actually see everything related to this event.
Yeah.
It's advertisement.
But
thanks, Zach.
Thanks,
I
Greg.
That.
No problem.
I mean, I think that there will be there. With beyond the shadow of a doubt, there will be demo units of the system, and I think once people see it, then people will be sold if they're not already.
Yeah.
What colors are
and
coming
I mean,
out?
There's only so many ways that like people that have seen it can communicate to people of how incredible it is.
It's coming out in Cosmic Black and Aqua Blue, Zach.
Awesome! I'm so getting Aqua Blue.
Those
I'm getting.
We
Cosmic
don't know.
Black.
I mean, we'll probably end up getting like shiny pink. And
I'm
like
kind of surprised they're not bringing out
turtle
white,
because
white's been their default DS color for a while now.
That's
their
true.
Default color for a
well,
while now.
I mean,
have Cosmic
I feel
black
like a lot of the DSIs
and
DS lights were black.
Yeah. Yeah.
But also coming with the system is going to be a 2GB SD card, which you can use to download all sorts of cool shit, like DSiWare games, which you can transfer over from your DSi,
probably.
With some exceptions.
Maybe
which
some of them.
Personally, I think, I mean, this is hopeful on my part, but I think that the exceptions are going to be stuff like Face Pilot or anything else that is heavily leveraged on the camera.
Look,
yeah.
If I can't transfer Face Pilot
spot.
Over, then fuck it.
I know. I mean, I use the example in the forums. Like, I have a feeling we'll be seeing all the art style games transferred onto 3DS, but stuff like Face Pilot or Faces or any other face-related thing with photos and albums.
There's a game called Faces.
Probably won't make it. Yeah, I reviewed it.
That sounds a little
close a blog
to
post.
Feces.
Yeah, for a while I would just call it Faces.
So we got a 2GB SD card. That's an awfully big fridge. There better be an automatic fridge cleaner for this system.
Yeah.
I think
it's not like
and
I
think there's also onboard memory as well, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's 1.5 gigs of onboard memory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that kind of insulting by now? Shouldn't we get something like 4 gigs? That's what's in a cheap iPod.
Especially since they were alluding towards being able to store your games on the device.
Yeah, exactly.
And
yeah.
These are, you know, GameCube quality looking games. You would think you
they're
need
not
to well, I mean,
base.
As far as like the downloadable stuff. I mean, even on the DSi, like, okay, yeah, I have to do fridge cleaning because I'm fucking crazy and have like 35 games. But I can still hold like 10, 15 DSiWare games on my DSi, and that's like, I think, like, what is that, like 0.5 gig? Not even?
No, but he's talking
yeah,
about
we're
installing your retail games to the system. Which
yeah,
is
I don't.
Really
that's never going to happen.
Didn't
I tend to agree, but wasn't it a rumored feature that
yeah,
was...
didn't they allude to that? Or was that...
I think it was
that.
Like someone in an interview said it, and then like they're like, well, that would be tough to refute with piracy. So yeah. I don't think that's ever going to happen, or
no,
at least anytime soon.
Well, crap.
It would be awesome, but I tend to agree it's a shot in the dark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, what you'll be able to download and put on your system or the SD card are Game Boy and Game Boy Color games.
Woo.
There will be a handheld virtual console. The examples they showed were stuff like Super Mario Land and Link's Awakening DX. There will also be classic games with 3D enhancements. That's probably going to be like the stuff from Classic Collection, which was on one of the demo units at E3. It had stuff like Yoshi's Island, Punch-Out, Xevious.
So that's going to be... Yoshi's Island in 3D will be mind-blowing.
Yeah, like, I'm trying to think of the other stuff that was there offhand. There was, like, some weird Japanese-only stuff.
Aren't you guys a little upset that we can't just transfer our virtual console, and instead we get this, well, you can rebuy them in 3D. I mean, that's crap to me. I don't care.
It depends on how much it is.
Yeah, no.
It depends on whether there is cross-pollination.
Yeah.
There already is.
Before I judge. Well, a little bit.
They've already got Xevious, Punch-Out, right? Those are all games we've already seen.
Yoshi's Island.
We don't know anything for sure yet. And we don't know anything about that part of the service for sure yet. I want to see the implementation before I get too upset about it. But if it comes down to, hey, we're going to release Super Mario Brothers on day one and Zelda in the second week, yeah, that's crap. And in that case, there better be some severe 3Dification, and it better be really awesome. For
and
me
do
one.
We
yeah.
know?
Or it better be like, hey, get Super Mario Brothers for $3.
It yeah. No, I bought these games already multiple times. But do we know if these are going to be downloadable, or are they going to come like bundled?
I think they said it was downloadable. Okay. It was the same stuff for the handheld virtual console.
Yeah, we're not going to get our old virtual console games then.
Yeah, we're
definitely. Yeah, for sure.
But this does bode well for them to be transfer over to the next home console. If they're going to let us transfer our DSiWare games, then that leads you to
believe that. Yeah, I think we'll probably see, you know, Wii Virtual Console and WiiWare games be able to be transferred onto Wii 2.
That's
true.
Got it.
In, like, 2012.
Wii dose.
Also coming with the system are going to be a set of 6 cards that can be used in augmented reality games, like the extraordinarily cool target shooting, which was at E3, which is the thing. There was just like a Mario like question block cardboard thing on the table card.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just point the cameras at it, and then it like transformed into like a target that would like go into the table that it was on, or at the end it became a dragon. It was just really, really awesome.
So by using these cards, you'll be able to know what it's like to be on mushrooms.
I guess. Nice. I mean, the whole thing is that it focuses on the card, and then using the card as a reference point, it can then, you know, build that augmented reality around it. But it was just really, really cool there. I think it's cool that it's just coming with the system, and it's not, like, something you have to buy.
This card is freaking me out, man!
And what else we got? We got Street Pass and Spot Pass, which are the new names for tag mode. It's always on. You can transfer stuff. Street Fighter, Ridge Racer, ranking,
Wait, so,
Street Fighter
well,
fights.
Are you telling me that I can have my DS closed in sleep mode, walk by someone on the street who's doing the same, and I can beat them in Street Fighter without even knowing it?
Yes.
I'm not really sure about
yes,
that. That's
no,
kind of what it looked
it
like for the video.
That's how it works, awesome. And you don't even have to have Street Fighter in the slot. It just installs data, and you can leave that tag mode running for all of your games that support it at once. So you don't have to worry about, like...
I'm going
to
open up my DS, and it's going to say, you win! That's pretty great.
Yeah.
Because I'm really good at Street Fighter, so I have to assume it means I'll win all the time. Like, that's a bizarre feature to me, I guess is what I'm saying.
It is bizarre, but I think it's cool that it supports multiple games at once. So you don't have to say, okay, I am in Dragon Quest mode right now.
Right. Yep.
That's how
I think that's something that's
2 years ago.
Probably in the beginning is going to be a little rough around the edges, but it'll be really cool once like people start getting used to it.
Well,
see,
here's
the thing with Animal Crossing. When they announced Wii Connect 24, like, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago, I forget, the example they gave was that my Wii could be in sleep mode and I could access my friend's town in Animal Crossing at the time.
Yeah, that was the example they gave, and I was so excited.
I was so excited for that. Like, I loved Animal Crossing.
Yeah,
fun
fact, I bought a Wii in anticipation only of Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
That is, I'm serious, I played so much of the DS version in high school, I was psyched, and they completely, well, we know what happened, but...
Yeah. I played the shit out of the GameCube one, but that's because I was in college and I lived on a dorm floor and, like, two of us had the game. We had two different towns and two different memory cards. And I sold a guy a Wii based on Animal Crossing. He bought a GameCube, I'm sorry. I had a GameCube.
Same
I had
thing.
Animal Crossing. He played it. He went and got a GameCube in Animal Crossing. And we spent the majority of my last semester in college trading memory cards and shit. It was incredible. It was one of the best gaming experiences ever.
Yeah, Animal Crossing is one of the best community games ever, conditionally. You know, if you have access to other people,
right,
then it's great.
And You know what happened when I bought the game, bought the both the DS and Wii versions? It was boring as shit because I played it for a week and then realized that I had like I played online with someone like once, but
yeah.
If you don't have the community there, it's not
yep.
a fun game. So they've got to fix that by letting you connect to your friends' towns when they're not playing.
Exactly.
That's the fix for that problem.
See, I got lucky and I had an entire Spanish class full of people with Animal Crossing DS. And
that's awesome.
That's not going to be replicated again in my life without online.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. So if they can, with this Street Pass thingy, or I'm hoping there's a version of that that can work, you know, online somehow. If I can visit my friend's town in Animal Crossing without them having to be even, like, aware of it at the time.
Yeah.
Animal Crossing, I will finally get back into that
Dude,
game.
Or imagine just passing someone on the street and having an object from their world wash up on your shores.
Hell yeah.
Holy
that's
crap.
That's fantastic.
Oh, I'm getting excited.
That's what makes Animal Crossing fun. Animal Crossing is fun because of the sense of, like, constant living, breathing world. You remove other people from that world, and it's not living and breathing anymore.
No,
it becomes very static.
I mean, it was the best. You could lock people in your world by digging holes around the exit. And I hired slaves to pick my weeds and harvest fruit. Game was
I don't think
awesome.
You hire slaves, Nathan.
Oh, no, I did. There were other players. There was a website called NookBay, very similar to eBay and / Craigslist, and I hired people. I'm not even kidding.
If you paid them, they're probably not slaves, is all I'm saying.
Oh, I treated them like slaves.
You paid them very little.
I paid them very little, and at the end I paid them with their freedom.
Oh, like indentured servants. Okay.
Exactly. I'm sorry. That was a poor word to use.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
I'm just happy that the next Pokemon game on the 3DS will basically have a built-in Pokewalker.
Yeah.
I saw a girl with a Pokewalker today.
I was wearing a Pokewalker
today. Mine's still
today.
On my nightstand. I haven't used it in a long time.
I was amazed. I have yet to see someone with a Pokewalker. And they looked about,
Hold
as
on,
I expected,
a
person with a Pokewalker.
Obviously, you haven't gone to PAX.
Someone I don't know what a Pokewalker is, and I've ignored it for a very long time. Explain to me in, like, three sentences.
It's basically, it is a pedometer in which
it's
you,
a Tamagotchi
you walk
pedometer.
Around with it. Yeah.
No, it's not
and
even
like,
that.
You can, that
you
that's
put
true.
Okay.
Wirelessly transfer a Pokemon from Heart Gold, Soul Silver onto it. It just sits there and accrues experience as you walk. And you can find specific items and Pokemons on the Pokewalker by playing stupid little games.
Yeah, like I got like an Electike and a whatever the hell, the Magby. Like
Magby,
the fucking second town of Heart Gold and Soul Silver because of the Pokewalker.
Right.
Anyways.
Let's move on to some of the games that they announced.
Because you mentioned,
Zach mentioned the
Pokewalker. There's also going to be the activity log, which is basically, it's going to act as a pedometer and also a game time tracker. So you'll be able to, you know, keep track of how many steps you take. And there's also going to be Miis on the 3DS. And you'll be able to make them by taking a 3D picture of someone and then it will map their facial features onto a Mii.
Face
pilot. Can I call it a Mii DS?
Yeah.
I feel like I have to use the name of the system and the thing. Otherwise,
the Mii-S.
Mii-S. Thank you, Zach. You solved the problem. Okay, carry on.
All right. Let's go on. There were two Capcom games that were announced. Mega Man Legends 3 Project, which is going to have some kind of bullshit where fans interact with the development team. There's going to be more next week at New York Comic Con, which I will be attending, so hopefully it'll be something really cool or something that I'll just be like, hey, this looks about as good as Mega Man Universe.
You're going to wear your Princess Leia outfit?
I mean, that's the plan.
Yeah.
I'm just going to do that and try to act real professional.
Is that how you get out of jury duty?
Yeah.
Me too.
All right, so and then there's going to be Resident Evil The Mercenaries 3D, which is based off of the mode from RE4 and RE5. It features the missions from those games and more modes and stuff like that. Also, there's going to be online co-op. I don't know if anyone ever played the Mercenaries modes.
I played
RE4
a hell of a lot of it.
RE4, like, that shit is awesome. And this is, I like the idea of this game.
It's the exact same way in Resident Evil 5. It's the same game. So it could be really cool. I'm wondering if they're going to include all the bonus content from the Gold Edition of Resident Evil 5.
I hope so. Because
there's a lot of extra characters and loadouts in the Gold Edition.
Yeah, they did not specify, but I would like to assume.
Yeah, I'd like to assume.
And there's still
going to
be
I'd like to assume that they rebuild the Resident Evil 4 segments with RE5 graphics.
Oh, yeah. I think they...
So that there's not a big graphical jump between the RE4 sections and RE5.
Or at least it'll all be on the same engine for the game. It'll probably be on the Resident Evil Revelations engine or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think that's on MT Framework, right? And I think that's what RE5 was made on, so it's probably going
to
be that.
Well, they're essentially going to have to port RE5 down and RE4 up a little, right? They're going to meet somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's still going to be Resident Evil Revelations, and there's a whole bunch of other games, including Super Monkey Ball, Metal Gear Solid 3, stuff like that. You can check out all the rest of the 3DS stuff on the site. We have, like, fucking 50 news stories. Like, the front page has been flooded today. Just like, this company announced this game, this company announced this game. Most of them are kind of stuff that you won't give two shits about, but there's still, there's
typing.
A lot of stuff there. Yeah, Pokemon typing. Well, we'll get to that next,
because that's
not a 3DS game.
Before we move on, why don't we just do a quick hit game you're most excited for on the 3DS?
Professor Layton. Professor Layton and the Mask of Mask of Miracle.
Okay.
I don't think we're going to be seeing that in North America right away, because we haven't gotten the third one, or the fourth one yet.
Oh, but God, the animation
looks
beautiful.
But I'm very excited to see that game. Yeah.
Oh, man.
I would say, contingent on how they implement online features, maybe Animal Crossing, but other than that, I'm going to go with Super Street Fighter 4 3D.
That's like Super Street Fighter 4 on the fucking 3DS. Like, that's what it is.
Like, that's
pretty amazing.
Incredible. There's not really been a good 2-on-2 fighter on the DS, to my knowledge, has there?
Yeah.
Nope.
No.
And I'm a big fan of 2-on-2
Actually,
fighting,
you know what? The Naruto games were good.
Okay.
I reviewed one of those. That was a pretty good game.
Yeah, they're decent.
All right, Zach, 3DS game you're most anticipating.
Tie between Resident Evil Revelations and Metal Gear Solid 3. Even though I own and have played the hell out of Metal Gear Solid 3, it is my favorite Metal Gear game.
I never finished Metal Gear Solid 3, so I am fucking stoked.
Wow,
for this game.
The ending made me cry like a baby, Neil.
So answer me a question. Having never played any of the games in the Metal Gear Solid series, why would I want to start with a third one on 3DS?
It's a prequel.
It's the prequel to the whole series. It's the first game in the series, but it's also the most accessible.
I don't need to know any of the context from the first two games?
Nope. Okay. I mean, it would help a little bit, but it's still, it doesn't really matter.
And it's not even like it would help a little bit. It's just like, if you know the storylines of 1 and 2, you like see the beginning of stuff in 3, and you're like, oh, that's where that came from.
Okay,
yeah.
So it's more like an extra appreciation thing, but it won't really...
Right.
Yeah.
It's like
the
inverse of the Star Wars prequels.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay. Right.
Except much better.
That's why it's the inverse.
Well, the inverse.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're releasing Phantom Menace in 3D in like 2 years.
No, all of them. They're releasing all of them in a row.
Well, it depends on how Phantom Menace does, which, I mean, it's going to do good. It's fucking Star Wars.
You think?
I'll go
but
see
it's
it. I don't
Phantom
give a shit.
Menace.
I tend to wonder if...
It's in 3D...
I tend to wonder if by now the Star Wars backlash hasn't gone so full force that Phantom Menace might bomb if re-released right now.
Everything Star Wars related usually does really well, so...
Yeah, I know, but I don't
know.
How else are we going to see, like, A New Hope and Empire in 3D? Like,
well, they could just release those, and they wouldn't have to torture us with
Phantom
Menace.
Well, why do you think they're releasing the prequels first?
Yeah, I guess that's true.
All right.
Do you think?
Wait
a second. Wait a second, Neil. Do you think George Lucas will like put some bullshit CG 3D stuff in there? Just to make it all 3D.
No doubt. It'll be the special edition.
Yeah.
Jar Jar's tongue is going to lash out at you every 3 seconds.
Nate, what's your most anticipated?
I'm going to
3DS
set myself
game.
Up for heartbreak. Animal Crossing.
Oh, poor guy.
I know.
Now let's move on to other news. Other stuff announced at this Nintendo conference. There's going to be a Rhythm Heaven Wii game. There's also going to be another Fatal Frame game that we'll probably never see.
Fatal Frame 2. It's a remake of Fatal Frame 2.
Wasn't it like Fatal Frame 4 or 5? I don't know. It's Fatal Frame game coming out on Wii. It's the second one. We're not going to see it.
Hey, Fatal Frame is good. Shut up.
Yeah, no. I've never played the series before. Isn't that the one with the lesbian scene?
No, God, no, that's 3.
That's Mass Effect.
Oh, okay. Which game is it? It's every game. Mario, Zelda, Kirby. Speaking of which, there's a new Kirby game on
DS. Kirby's going to have a lesbian scene in it? Nice.
Yeah, well, there's going to be like 10 clones of Kirby. It looks like there might be some kind of touchscreen shenanigans that might be reminiscent of Canvas Curse. There's really not too much known about this game. It was kind of shown offhand, but new Kirby on DS. Hopefully it'll be better than Squeak Squad.
I'll bet it'll get delayed for 10 years.
It might. And then it'll be awesome. It'd be Kirby's Epic Yarn.
Kirby's Epic Yarn 2 would take 10 years later.
Yeah.
There's also a Pokemon typing game, which I forget the exact name of that.
Huh. That's a great thing to have on a system without a keyboard.
I know.
Well, it's coming with a wireless keyboard. It's coming with a wireless keyboard, don't you know?
Oh, my God.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, then.
All right.
I guess Microsoft Word isn't good enough.
All right.
Compatible with my notebook games, I hope.
No.
No, it won't be. That would make too much sense. And plus, you're supposed to be jotting down notes yourself. You're not supposed to be using a keyboard.
That's with true. Your pen.
Yeah.
Multicolored pen.
All right, and Wii Remote Plus, which is a Wii Remote with built-in Motion Plus, is going to be included in Fling Smash. It leaked on GameStop and then was confirmed at this Nintendo conference in Japan. So that's kind of cool. Are any of you guys considering getting a Wii Remote Plus?
No.
I have two Wii Remotes and two Wii Remote Pluses.
Yeah, maybe, actually. I kind of want to play Fling Smash. And I don't have a black remote yet, and according to the art, it was black, so...
Hmm. Yeah.
Maybe then.
You know what, yeah,
I mean, they didn't put this out in the first place.
Yeah, that's true. It's more market segmentation, which is silly, but at this point, I think they've kind of already made that bed, and now it's time to lie in it, and that's the best way to do it.
Yep. I think it's a good idea to have it like that, because it could make Fling Smash like the new Wii Play.
Yeah, it is a good idea.
I already have four remotes and I have two Motion Pluses.
Wii Motion Pluses.
Yeah. Shantae, Risky's Revenge, is coming out to DSiWare on October 4th.
That's
that is
Monday,
next Monday.
Bitches.
Hey, guess what, motherfuckers? We're doing a game club.
Alright.
Yes,
so get ready on the October 13th episode. We are going to be talking about Shantae. It's going to be 1,200 points. It's going to be the full game. There's no episodic stuff here. Should be pretty damn cool. And there's also a bonus if you have Mighty Flip Champs, which I do.
Which I'm going to buy.
Mighty Flip Champs is also a great game. It's kind of hard, but it's still
pretty
cool.
What is it?
I'm not going to explain it right now. I'll tell you after the show. Also, Sonic 4 Episode 1 is coming out on October 11th, the week after Shantae. And it's going to be $15.
Oh, my God.
Does anyone give a shit about this game?
I played
it. $15.
Sonic Colors interests me more.
Yeah. No, Sonic, I played at E3. I played each new Sonic game.
Yeah.
And I hated this game.
Yeah.
Like, I really didn't like it at all. Sonic Colors was fun on DS because it reminded me of good old 2D Sonic, not like this piece of shit. And yeah. Sonic Colors on Wii looked like it might actually be good. It's like weird ass looking 2D. So it's trying too hard to be like the original.
Yeah.
Oh.
As opposed to like Sonic Colors, which feels like an evolution of that gameplay.
But it's got some really strange mechanics. I can't remember what I didn't like about it. It might have been the lock-on stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was a lock-on that I didn't really care for.
It's been a while since I played that, and I put it out of my mind. Because I was like, there are better things at E3. I'm just going to file this to the back.
And God, their display for that was so weird. You had to go sit on that couch.
Yeah, like there was like someone like filming an interview, and I had to like stand next to the guy as he was interviewing,
yeah.
And then I stood up and played the game. That could have contributed to why I didn't like it, but I don't
weird.
And the last news story that we have is that Cave Story, the WiiWare game that we did a game club on back in March when it came out on WiiWare, is coming to DSiWare. It was in the latest Nintendo Power. I haven't gotten my issue yet, so I haven't really read anything about it, but apparently it is going to come to DSiWare, and that's pretty fucking cool.
Is it the Wii version, or just like the story mode?
I think it's the Wii version.
No,
there's also going to be an update.
I've heard that it's a closer port to the original, isn't it?
Oh, really?
Yeah, I remember seeing that somewhere. That could just be bullshit.
I'd still buy it, because there have been times where I've been out and about, and like I could really use a good platformer right now.
I think... Yeah, I mean, I would totally buy it on DSiWare. I loved it on WiiWare, and I will play it again on DSiWare. I like portable games. So that's it for news. Let's move on to what you're reviewing. And up first, we got Zach. Zach, tell us about Scooby-Doo and Spider-Man.
Scooby-Doo. well, when I got this game, along with a Beyblade demo, which I immediately burned. No, that's not true.
That's okay.
No, I'll write something up about it. Scooby-Doo, though, I was dreading it. I was like, this is one of those games where, like, you know, you or Pale sent out an email saying, we got games to review and somebody named things off. So I picked Scooby-Doo mainly because there was nothing left. But so I was like thinking to myself, this is going to be a piece of shit third-party cash-in. But it's phenomenal. It's incredibly good. It's a team-based or character-switching-based platformer with some brawling elements. And it's just wonderful. It's funny. They're, you know, all the people from the current TV show are voicing the characters. The graphics are great. The sound quality is great. Everything's great. And
now I played the last game in the series. I guess it was Scooby-Doo First Frights or something. I forget.
That was at E3 a long time ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was. It came out last year. I reviewed it back when I was with Pixelbit, and I was kind of looking forward to it because it seemed like it was a really cool, like, kind of Lego Star Wars esque brawler. And it seems like, just from hearing you, if we line up the same way here, I think they corrected a lot that I didn't find as great. It seemed too focused on brawling, not enough platforming.
I mean,
it was visually, the presentation of that game was great because it was like, it felt like you were in Scooby-Doo episodes. I know there were five in the first one, and then they still do the thing where you have to guess who did it at the end.
Yes. Yeah, you have to.
Yeah, I thought that was an awesome touch.
All along the way, you're picking out clues like, well, where do you think the killer is based on all this evidence you've uncovered so far?
Yeah.
You know, it's really fun. And, you know, I really like that. First off, it got two-player co-op, which is awesome. At any time, it's drop-in, drop-out. So if a buddy comes over, you know, it just presses the plus button, bam, and he's Scooby-Doo now, and you're Daphne. But I really like that everybody has their own little power, so you constantly have to switch between characters, and they all have different combat abilities. You know, they're all good situationally, so it's never boring. It's never, ever boring, and I really like that. Although the cases last a little too long. There's a certain point where you're like, all right, already. But
do they still have chase scenes?
Yes, they do. I got chased by a giant Day of the Dead skeleton a giant Day of the Dead skeleton, and then halfway through the race, he gets in a parade float and starts chasing after you in that, and then a bunch of Lucha Libres start following him, and they're all on fire.
That's awesome.
It is. It's a really fun game.
I mean, that sounds great. I'm glad you enjoyed it. And it seems like, I know that's a Tourist Games that I did a developer spotlight on them at the beginning of the summer for the game Kid Adventures Sky Captain, which was their first independently created IP that they made. And I basically first heard about them at the Scooby-Doo game when it came out last year. And I think they're a really good developer. I mean, they make a lot of licensed crap, if you will, but they seem to be, like, turning the corner into being a pretty, like, unsung developer for licensed games.
Yeah.
And hopefully they'll come out of the shell.
I like that the
be more was way forward and less high touch.
Less Beanox, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, so,
yeah,
nice segue.
I love it.
What, Spider-Man?
Oh, no, now we're talking about Spider-Man. Spider-Man,
well,
actually,
you said Beanox.
Spider-Man, I'm actually not in love with.
I have the Xbox 360 version of this game, which I am told is almost exactly the same.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Version aside from, but, yeah, you talk about it. I will interject.
You know, it's mission-based where one mission, you're amazing Spider-Man, the next mission, you're Noir. You know, the next mission, you're 2099.
Well, I would call it more level-based because...
Yeah, that's what I mean,
you're
level-based,
going through, like,
right.
Pretty, yeah, it's like epic, like they're like fucking 45-minute levels.
Yeah, they're
and
huge.
And I think
there's really
like 12
long.
To 14 of them. They are way longer than I thought they would be,
and I think sometimes they're too long.
I agree.
But my problem with it is it would be a really good game if they didn't force so much waggle stuff. Those motherfuckers lied
to me. We have an interview with them, and I believe I asked, like, is there going to be a lot of motion control? And they're like, no, there's not really that much. But, yeah,
well,
that must suck.
Let me
I can see where it would be from playing the 360 version. I'm thinking,
I'm glad I got the 360 version. It's not with web swinging where I thought it would be.
Yeah.
It's actually with the combat, and...
Yeah, that would ruin it. I think the combat's pretty fun on 360.
Well, you don't have to... What's nice, sort of nice, is that you're not, like, shaking the remote to punch. What's happening is that you just, like, tap B to do a quick punch, but you have to, like, hold the Wii remote at a certain angle, a certain sweet spot angle, to do a heavy attack. You know, shit like that. It's not like shake the Wii remote and press B. No, it's like tilt it at a certain, you know... You'll know it when you get it, and press B to do a heavier attack.
And that's a game which, that, like, I mean, not that it's, like, really, like, you need to be super precise. But
some of them you do.
On, like,
some
you
of
shoot.
The bad guys you yeah. need to be pretty precise.
Yeah. Because you have to do specific attacks to, like, break out of a guy's, right. like, defense and everything.
And you have to shake the nunchuck to do, activate, like, grabbing anything during combat with your webbing and flinging it somewhere. That's annoying.
Yeah, because that's just a fucking button on the 360, and that works wonderfully.
Yeah, that would be much better. But there's just shit like that that really brings the combat down. There's never been a time where I've been looking forward to the combat just because of that.
Well, what do you think about like the different suits and universes?
Amazing and Ultimate, there's not too much of a difference.
Yeah,
which
I mean,
is annoying.
Like the graphic style, it just seems like there's like a different like filter over it.
Right.
I guess.
Now Noir, I really don't like because the black and white doesn't look so good on the Wii graphic engine.
Okay.
Like the
I don't like the Noir because it's like Batman Arkham Asylum, and Batman Arkham Asylum was kind of shitty.
Yeah, no, that is what it's like, and it's just very basic. You know,
you can't really. Yeah, because it's not like you can really fight that well as Noir, because everyone has guns and they shoot you to death.
Right. Right, and so, you know, I haven't gotten too far into a Noir episode yet, but I'm just finding that it's hard to see, and sometimes the bad guys see you anyway. Like, I didn't think I was in the light, but I guess I was at the very edge of it, and they saw me and now I'm dead.
Yep, that's what happened to me all the time. I'm right now doing the Noir level with Vulture, and it just really pissed me off.
Yeah, but I really like the 2099. Who's doing his voice? It sounds like Alan Alda.
I think it's the guy. It might be the guy who voiced the 1990s cartoon.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure. Or it could be the guy from Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends.
He sounds very different compared to everyone else.
I think it's the guy from Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends.
Well,
I really like him
because that voice,
yeah,
is really fun.
Yeah,
and I like having the How I Met Your Mother guy as the Amazing Spider-Man.
Yep, Neil Patrick Harris.
He's really good.
He plays Spider-Man. That's awesome.
Well,
he was in
that shitty CGI TV show.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you're right. No, it wasn't shitty.
But, I mean,
it was good.
I have it on DVD.
Like, shut up.
But I know I've heard some places. Well, first off, everyone seems to think that the Noir part is the best part of the game, and
no.
I disagree. I think it's the worst part of the game, actually,
me too.
Because the pace is so terribly slow, and just a lot of it isn't fun. But I think that the presentation of the game is pretty damn good. I mean, I'm speaking to the 360 version. But
no, the graphics
each
are
one
fantastic.
Varied, each, yeah, the graphics. You know, there's a different style for each level, but it still like you know plays very similarly. But it's different, like, each character is different enough that it feels different, but it's not like you need to learn a different control scheme for every world you're in.
Now, the only thing I find weird about the graphical style is in Amazing, you know, he's got the black line around him, but none of the enemies do. So that's kind of
odd. I did not notice that.
Kraven doesn't have it, and you're like, you should have a big black line around you, because I do. I like Kraven, too, and that voice actor I'm really familiar with, but I can't remember.
Yeah, there's a lot. I like the voice. The voice acting in this game is pretty good. I mean, some of the lines that Spider-Man says, of course, get a little annoying, but there are also some really, really funny ones in there.
He's always saying, see ya, wouldn't want to be ya.
Yeah. There's a lot of annoying repeated ones, but there's a couple, like, specific instant ones that are really funny.
Yeah. No, I think, you know, if it didn't have the... Okay, if it didn't have Noir, or if they made Noir, actually made Noir like Arkham Asylum and not sucky, and it had a little shorter of levels and it had no waggle controls, I would be in love with this game.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I mean, except for I don't know the waggle controls. But I think it's a really solid game, and, you know, especially with Activision with this whole yearly thing, I look forward to playing Spider-Man Shattered Dimension 2 or whatever the hell
Enox
does
do
with their
one?
Franchise next year. I don't know if they'll do specifically a Shattered Dimension game, but I think we'll see another Spider-Man game.
I'd like
and
to
I
see
hope
a game based entirely around 2099.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to see another Spider-Man game done with this style and, like, this. I guess these game mechanics and see it improved upon.
Yeah.
I guess I will take the reins for what you're reviewing and go over briefly Spider-Man DS, Shattered Dimensions DS, which if you listen to RFN, which if you're listening to this, let's be honest, you probably listen to RFN more often than you listen to us.
Probably
but,
already have.
I know, because we wound up getting two copies of this, so I told Pale to sneak send one to Johnny, so you're welcome. Thank Pale for the shipping. But because I was playing this game and I didn't really like it. And I the review's already up on the site. I think I gave it like a 6.5 or something. It just seemed to me like it's a very, very basic Metroidvania game. Like, the exploration's not really that much fun, and really, like, okay, you get, like, some, like, power-ups and stuff, but it's really nothing game-changing. A lot of the powers that you get are just, like, artificial keys that, right. like, you know, will just, like, yank a door off this wall. I thought the combat was really shitty. Until the end, by the time you get to the end of the game and you have, like, Spider-Man fully powered up, the combat's kind of fun. And then the game ends. So it's like, by the time the combat gets fun, it's over. But at the beginning, like, I hated combat. There's too much forced combat, and there's no reward for it in this game. Like, what I found myself doing in the second half of the game is just avoiding combat unless they forced me to do it, because, well, this is just not fun.
Do you still get experience
the bosses,
for fighting?
A lot of... I don't think so.
That blows.
It's been like a week and a half since I played the game too. So, read my review for fresh thoughts on this game. But I mean, I really didn't enjoy it that much. And I thought all the like there were a couple bosses that were cool, but most of them are just like, you know, that normal enemy you've been fighting or avoiding the fight a lot. Here's just a big version of it.
Yeah. And do they have a million HP?
Yeah. And then it takes fucking forever.
Blows.
And even, like, and they have, they don't have a ultimate in this, but they have Amazing Noir 2099. And, I feel like there's no difference between them. And by the end of the game, you can have all the powers of each one in each one. But, like, it's like stuff like, Noir can't web swing. It's like, well, yeah. That sucks. Like, it's just like, I was just playing as Amazing, and he could web swing, and now you're taking away powers from me.
Well, Johnny,
okay
was saying on RFN, he thought that was a good way to make you kind of think about how to approach each one differently, but it sounds like you're saying it just sounds frustrating.
Well, it's also because it's like usually like this one specific segment you'll have to do without that, and then you'll go to that room and get that power.
Oh, wow.
Because they have these conduits in it where you get the powers from the other dimensions. So by the end of the game, some of them are optional from what I could gather. But you can basically have all the powers of each universe and have them all there, like 2099 can glide and stuff like that. But
it kind of just seems like a really arbitrary way of trying to make them feel different.
Exactly. That's exactly how I felt.
Like, I know that every video game obstacle is essentially somewhat arbitrary, but they can be more creative than just saying, oh, he can't do this thing that Spider-Man has always been able to web swing. Can he? I mean, is Noir based off
of the comic where he can't web swing? I think Noir actually can't. Because I know it's in Spider-Man in the 360 version, which each character does feel different. In each level that you play, you're like, okay, this is an amazing level, this is an ultimate level, that's 2099, they're all different. And that one, they make a point that, like, when you're first introduced to Noir, they make a point that, like, oh, now you can climb on walls or whatever.
So Adam authorized you to climb on walls?
Yeah, I mean, that's what it felt like. It really did.
That's such bullshit.
I mean, except for you do get the power-up later, and you don't have to wait for Adam to authorize you, but... I just think, I mean, in all honesty, like, Soul of Fucking Darkness is probably a better Metroidvania game than this.
Yeah, it probably is.
I've been playing that.
Yeah. I can see why Johnny would like it, and I'm glad he does, and I'm glad that we happen to get another copy, so that way one of the people that played this game on the site's behalf enjoyed it a lot. But, and it's not a terrible game. It's just, I think it's mediocre.
Yeah.
I think it's a 6.5. The other game that I've been playing, which I'm working on the review, and I actually adored, was Batman Brave and the Bold for DS, which is this really cool kind of like beat-em-up platformer where you play as Batman and a side character that you can switch between at will by just like tapping the touchscreen. And it's like people like the Blue Beetle, Green Arrow, I think Hal Jordan, Green Lantern, Red Tornado, Aquaman, and like each character has different powers. Like Green Arrow shoots... Like, he'll shoot, like, you know, like a bomb arrow, a regular arrow, and then, like, one that has a plunger on the end that you can use to, like, jump to higher levels.
Nice.
And then Aquaman like a has a power.
Kind of, except for it's only two characters at once. It's Batman has his abilities, which are, like, grappling the shit.
So more
and
similar to
level,
Mary-Kate and Ashley for the Game Boy Color.
Exactly.
Wow.
actually, I think you could play in the dog as that as well.
Yeah. But you switch between the two characters, and it is the kind of thing where, you know, you have to switch between them to maneuver through the level.
So it's more like Scooby-Doo, is what you're telling me.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's really more except like for Pocahontas for the original Game Boy.
Oh, my God in heaven.
But it's a really, really cool game, and Aquaman, like, his special power is that he can fucking call a fish. you just hit a button and, like, he, like, holds his hand to his head. It's all beautifully animated. It's way forward, so kind of it's, like, par for the course. And, like, he holds his hand to his head, and it just fit, like, little fish just start flying on the screen and hit the enemies. It's fucking hysterical.
Have you seen that Family Guy skit where a woman's being raped on the beach and Aquaman's out in the water saying, "I got fish that I'll send to help you"? And the fish come up and they just flop around on the land.
But, and then, like, another cool thing is that, like, if you build up the combo meter, then you can do, like, a special attack between the two ones. A lot of the specific ones for the other characters escape me, but they're all really cool. And they kill every enemy on the screen and stuff like that.
So now
but Aquaman's
both?
Is... Aquaman's is, like, the entire screen floods, and then you go, and, like, Batman... is on the back of a whale with Aquaman, and you just run over people. And there is a part of the game where Batman gets turned into a gorilla, and then, like, I think it might be, like, Red Tornado, where someone just hops on his back.
Oh, my God. You've played both versions of this now, right?
I have not played... I played the Wii version at E3, but the Wii version, hopefully, is at James Charlton's in Japan.
Nice.
I hope.
I really want one of these.
Yeah, I plan on getting the Wii version at some point. I want to check out the Batmite stuff, because that's also in the DS version.
Oh, that's right, the connectivity.
Yeah, and the DS version is, like, the bosses are really cool. I do have one caveat that has to go with this whole game, and it really holds the game back. It is about 2.5 hours long.
Ouch.
Every single thing in the game. There's like, unlockable challenges. Like, there's ones that are basically, like, you, like, fight off a bunch of enemies, or... using each of the side characters, you basically go through, like, an obstacle course and use their powers to get through it. And there's, like, boss rushes and stuff. And that's all really awesome. And, like, you can upgrade Batman's powers and stuff. But it's fucking 2.5 hours long. Like, I was watching TV at my friend's house playing this game. And I fucking beat it in the span of, like, watching the shitty event TV show.
I've done that with
It was. But... It's a great game. It's so short.
I'll wait for it to drop. Yeah,
I would definitely wait for it to drop to like $10-$20. Like, this would have been great if it was a downloadable game. Because
that's about the sweet spot for me.
But I mean it's a wonderful game, it's just so short.
Jeez.
And that's all I got for what you're reviewing. Let's move on to Nate, who has two games for us, one of which we might have to cut him off from talking about too much of.
Okay, yeah, probably. Let's start with one that is not the case for the Owl Game, as we have listed it. Legends of
I'm
the Guardian.
I'm not typing out, like, Legends of the Bullshit, Bulls of whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Legends
Harry
of
Potter
the Guardians.
With owls.
The Owls of Gahul. And it is Harry Potter with owls, and the story is kind of sucky.
Harry Potter already has owls.
Yeah, that's true.
Harry Potter,
what the owls are doing
only with
Harry
owls.
Potter's not fucking things up.
It does look like it's like Hedwig the movie.
That's
yeah.
Awesome.
It's basically a Hogwarts type environment with owls only. Humans swapped with owls. And the whole story and all the cutscenes and stuff are.
Who the fuck cares?
Yeah, no one cares about that. It's kind of. It detracts from the game. But I guess people that buy this game probably are in it partially for the story because they know what the hell the Owls of Gahul are and they want that stuff. Oddly enough, I suspect the cutscenes are actually video ripped from the real-time Xbox 360 cutscenes. It has that looked about it. Yeah, like there's all this artifacting everywhere.
That happened with the Tomb Raider Underworld on the DS that I reviewed. They had the cutscenes straight from the Xbox
really?
And PS3 games, and they were really, really badly, you know, downsized.
Yeah, downsampled horribly. It's kind of that case for this, but then you get to playing the game, and it's actually really good. It's a lot like Crimson Skies or Rogue Squadron, one of those kind of games.
Or Pocahontas on the Game Boy Color.
No, that's more of a Lost Vikings kind of joint. Like Mary Kate and Ashley. Actually, it was the original Game Boy, not the Game Boy Color.
I'm sorry. You're right.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm ashamed I played that game. But where was I? Yeah, it's like Rogue Squadron, and the gameplay itself is really good. It gets a little repetitive, but basically you're flying around these gorgeous environments. I mean, for the amount of time they put into the cutscenes, I'm surprised they put so much time into the game world itself, because it looks gorgeous. The environments are a little sparse, but, you know, graphically it looks great, and you're flying around clawing other owls' faces out. I mean,
do you, like,
how
have
could
a projectile?
That not be cool?
Do you, like, spit?
No. No, you can't spit.
Spit lasers?
No, you can't, like shit out or vomit out owl pellets and like no there's none of that. But
that would be an awesome upgrade. You get some weapon and the camera switches to the front of the owl, and when you press the weapon button it shits.
Oh god, and like it looks at its mouth and it like zooms in and does like the weird like camera going all the way down into its intestinal tract kind of deal, and then and then zooms back out as the pellet like comes zooming out. Oh god.
Poop.
Oh yeah, that'll make the game probably 10 times better. Also, a point that my friend made up immediately looking at it: how did the owls make the armor for their faces? How? There is no way.
They got the rats of Nim to do it for them.
Oh, God.
Lol.
Anyways, the basic mechanic of flying around, scratching the faces off bats and owls is fun. It just gets really repetitive. And this game uses
once
very...
Once you scratch the eyes out of one bat, you've scratched the
you
eyes
scratch
out of
them all.
Yeah,
and it's actually kind of visceral at first, but then, yeah, it kind of loses its spice. And this game uses very liberally highlighted text. So, a lot of enemies or structures you have to blow up by picking up hot coals and throwing it at them and burning them down or whatever. But every time the game will say, maybe you could find some hot coals and destroy this. It's like, God, I know. Like, I've done this 20 times. But initially it's fun. And I think if you're into the story, that might be enough to string you along. I don't know if it's a story like the same as the movie, or if it's different, I'll probably look into that before I review it, but yeah, it surprised me. I actually thought it was going to be horrible, which is why I immediately requested
it. I have to make a note of is that Warner Brothers has made, like, surprisingly good movie, like, tie-in games, because I played Where the Wild Things Are for Wii last year, and that was a surprisingly good, like, little platformer.
Have I mentioned how shitty I hate that movie? I hate that movie so much.
Oh, no. I mean, let's not talk about the movie. The game really has little to nothing to do with the movie.
The game's more like Mary-Kate and Ashley for the Game Boy Color.
Yeah.
I bet you it is.
It might be. But I mean, it's just like, I mean, both this and like the Legend of the Guardians game sound like they're actually pretty good games for what they are.
Yeah, it's a good game. Like,
really, there's no
for what little they had to work with the fiction. You know, it's so, you know, trite and obnoxious, but hey, maybe someone likes it. But they crafted a really good game. And basically, they looked at better games and said, why don't we just ape this? And it turned out fine.
Yeah.
And they introduced.
But that's okay to do with a movie game. Like,
yeah, well, and they introduced enough new mechanics to, you know, like, I've never really played a flying melee game.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like got a combo system and there are counterattacks and stuff and like a time-based melee combat system while you're flying. And it's actually pretty cool.
That is cool.
Yeah, it surprised me.
All right, let's talk to the game that you really want to talk about.
Oh, Into the Dungeon, Etrian Odyssey 3.
Holy Minecraft. Crap. Oh, Etrian Odyssey.
That's for later.
That's for later.
This is my portable Minecraft, which, oh my god, that would be awesome on the 3DS,
holy
by the
shit.
Way.
Holy shit.
Oh my god. Oh my god, tag mode. Holy shit.
Holy shit.
Holy crap.
Holy shit. Oh my god, I just realized in an alternate universe I picked up my DS and never set it down ever.
Oh my god.
Oh god.
Anyways.
You just have like a full beard. Your wife's just like, Andy.
Well, I already have a full beard, so I could do it. And I got that beard playing Etrian Odyssey 3. I freaking love this game. And I know that most people just go, oh, it's a weird Japanese dungeon crawler thing, right? Way too hard. Oh,
that's exactly what I said.
The cartographer RPG.
Let me propose this to you. If you enjoy Dragon Quest IX, you will enjoy this.
Yes. Really?
I see where you're coming
from. If you
from.
Enjoy Dragon Quest IX, you will enjoy this game.
All right. So, let's go over what
Wait,
exactly...
No. Oh, okay. I thought you were going to go to retail. I was like, holy
oh, no. You're cut off. Oh. No, what exactly is, like how is Etrian Odyssey
okay,
3,
so
how does
it
play,
structured...
and how does it improve on the past games?
Okay, it improves on the past games by making it more accessible. It's a first-person dungeon crawler, so you're...
Oh, great.
Hear me out, Zach. Hear me out. Okay?
Zach, shut the fuck up. Let the man talk.
Listen, I listen to you talk about fucking Scooby-Doo. I cannot give 2 cents worth of crap about Scooby-Doo, so hear me out, alright? Etrian Odyssey is a first-person dungeon crawler, and as you're walking around in first-person in these dungeons, you're mapping them out, which is fun. It adds that nice explorative element to it.
It sounds like it might be comparable to Wind Waker in some kind of way.
No. And you get in these first-person...
Well, no, I mean, not in gameplay at all, but I mean in, like, mapping out the area around you,
yeah,
which was
definitely.
A draw of Wind Waker for some people.
Yeah, the draw of discovery is a big part of it. And it actually helps with the pacing, because by the time you're done mapping out a certain floor of the dungeon, you're probably ready to move on to the next. And the battles work out just like Dragon Quest battles, not Dragon Quest IX. Or structurally, they're the same. They don't have the 3D... battle animations or anything like that.
It's like the old Dragon Quest.
Basically it's like, you know, any other Dragon Quest game. Mm. And it's highly class-based, just like Dragon Quest IX. You can pick a class for your characters at the start. I don't think you can change them. But you can reset your level to reallocate your skill points at any time.
Oh,
and
that's
nice. And you could always just make another character. And you can have up to 30. And it takes...
Damn.
It doesn't take very long to grind up a new character. Essentially, you can just take them with you and protect them, and they'll get enough XP to where they reach your current level pretty rapidly.
Nice.
Yeah, and so the way the classes work in this game are really what keep me sucked in, because the skills they have are kind of remind me of TF2 in that there's this interdependence between the classes. So you can have a protector that has an ability that guards the entire front line, and he also has an ability that provokes enemies into attacking him. So he's raised his defense, and all the enemies will divert their attacks towards him. You can also, like, it makes a difference towards what line you're in.
So
you can have...
strategic.
It is, yeah. Like, the way I've set it up is I don't like to use a lot of magic points, so I put a lot of points into passive abilities. So I've got a class that if at the end of the turn he has full health, he will heal the entire party passively without using any magic points. And he also can issue, like, a command towards different lines and, like, give a guard order and defense will... So basically he issues buffs. But he also has these really cool passive healing abilities. So, like, if he's alive at the end of the battle, everyone's health will, you know, get healed by some small amount. And stuff like that. So I try to protect that guy, keep him alive, and I don't actually need a healer. Because my healer is a monk. Who's mainly focused on melee combat, but he's got some, like, healing abilities on the side.
And does he have OCD?
I'm sure he does. He's this really old guy, and he looks kind of crazy.
Yeah.
And you probably have to have OCD to really get into this game.
Is it on DS?
Yeah, it's on DS.
I might get sucked in to this.
And, and the cool part about this is, in Etrianossi 2 and 1, you were just getting sucked into this dungeon, and it could get really... Kind of, you know, like, I got this feeling of claustrophobia. It's like, God, I'm going deeper and deeper into this dungeon, and it gets a little repetitive. You know, you're grinding up characters, and there was a problem of not having enough money a lot. And so in this game, they've added the sailing mode, which is essentially, that is more like Wind Waker, Neil.
Okay.
But at the start, it's kind of like a puzzle, aspect of the game. So you start off with a certain amount of moves, based on what kind of supplies you've procured in the game. So, like, at the start of your trip, you can buy X amount of, like, biscuits or something, and that gives you 6 turns. But while you're out, you may find an item that if you purchase that, next time you go out, you can take 8 turns, like, make 8 movements. And you're exploring, trying to get to different places and meet different people or fight different battles on the ocean in a set amount of turns. So it's got kind of like a, I'm trying to think of a puzzle game that's like that, where you can only move, like, X amount of turns, and you have to get through the environment. But it's like that. And,
there's probably a Professor Layton puzzle.
That's what I was thinking, too.
Something like that. Yeah. And, while you're out, you can fish for things and, collect quite a bit of money. So that it almost completely solves the issue of always being broke in the game.
That's what bugs me about Dragon Quest IX.
Yeah, you don't have to... You can go out and do some fun quests on the ocean. Like, you may have to go find an alternate route to this lighthouse without running into this giant bird monster. And when you finally find the route there, you may get another mission that's, oh, go back with this ninja guy and kill the giant bird that was previously blocking you. Stuff like that. But on your way, you can catch fish and make money. And...
Cool.
Yeah. Oh, man. There's a lot more to talk about this game when you're getting into the minutiae, how it's different from the other games.
Save it for the review.
Yeah, I will. One more cool little feature.
I mean, this strikes me as the kind of game that I probably would have loved when I was, like, 12.
What are you implying?
Well, no, that I was more into RPGs when I was 12.
Okay.
Not that it's, like immature.
Not that I am a 12-year-old.
Like, I was way into fucking RPGs when I was about 12, and now I'm not so much.
Yeah, I've never really evolved out of that, so... Yeah, one cool thing I'd like to add, that
it does sound pretty good, though, especially that they made it a lot more accessible, because that's what always scared me off in the other two games.
Yeah, it lets you map little autopilot arrows on the floor of the dungeon, so that when you step onto them, if you have autopilot enabled, it'll just run you through a set route that you want to go through on that. Or the dungeon.
That's awesome.
So, like,
it's kind of funny.
Yeah, if you haven't activated a warp zone on, like, level 5 yet, or level 3, wherever the first one was, you can just blitz through the first couple of floors on your, like, automatic walk arrows.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
All right, and that's it for what you're reviewing, so let's move on to the retail releases.
Retail releases!
Retail! We got Guitar Hero, Warriors of Rock for Wii, published by Activision, developed by Vicarious Visions. It's the latest in the series. It is en route to me, and I'll be reviewing that soon. And Zach will be reviewing Band Hero.
Oh, yeah.
A year late. But he should be getting a giant fucking box of goodies. And
Who sent that, you or Pale?
Pale.
Okay.
That's what I'm waiting. I assume he said he was going to send it on Monday. We will see. Next up, we got Samurai Warriors 3, which is for Wii. Published by Nintendo, developed by, like, I don't know, whoever the fuck makes Samurai Warrior games, Koei Tecmo.
This is the Samurai version of Pokemon Rumble.
No, or the Samurai version of Dynasty Warriors.
Ah, yes.
It looks like if you're into that type of game, and you know who you are, you will probably love this game. If not...
Phil Theobald.
I went to, I went to an event in New York City last week that was at, like Buddha Bar or some shit in New York City. And they had the game playable there, and I played it for a little while, and was just like, well, I can see how this could be fun, but it's kind of slow and boring. I was playing that, like, the Mystery Castle of Muramasa mode or whatever that's, like, based off of that NES game. I'm probably saying everything wrong. I don't even know the name of the thing, but... I mean, it's kind of fun, but it's just... And I could see, like, there's definitely more to it as far as, like, doing combos and moves. It's all leveraged on doing combat in, like, huge groups of enemies. And I could see having a good time with it, but I don't really care that much. Sid Meier's Pirates, 2K Games. It's a, I believe, a Wii-ified port of the PC game.
Isn't this game really old?
Yeah. Why don't they just put Civ 5? Make that. Come on. They could do it.
Next up, we got My Sim Sky Heroes for Wii and DS, which is a, seems like it could be another Diamond in the Rough-esque game, a la the Owl game. It's like a, I think it's like a combat flight game in the My Sim series.
Neil, of course you mean Legends of the Guardians, the Owls of Ga'Hoole? By the Owl game?
Yeah, whatever the fuck.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the Owl game.
Now I know what you mean.
So yeah, that's out there from EA. We got FIFA 11 for Wii and DS, also from EA. And last but not least, we got Etrian Odyssey 3 for DS, which you heard some of from Nate just before this.
Yay.
Still no cricket game.
Buy the game.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've been cricket waiting game patiently.
You can make cricket in Minecraft.
Ooh. No, still don't care. Sorry.
Oh, Andy's still here, and I thought he was playing Minecraft.
He is.
I'm not playing Minecraft, but although I am.
Don't lie. You're
if
dreaming
I was playing
about
Minecraft,
it.
My recording would be skipping around because that game is taking up more of my system resources than it should.
You're playing with it in your mind, Andy.
I'm scouting out more coal in the map I've made in my brain.
Yeah. All right.
Well, you know what? It'll be a great time to even scout even more coal. Why don't we go over this week in Nintendo downloads, or this past 2 weeks in Nintendo downloads.
Nintendo downloads.
Downloads. I know we got some criticism for our sped-up rendition of the press release, which kind of was a cool idea and concept, and then it just was kind of shitty, and we tried to come up with some kind of backup plan, but Nate didn't want to sing for everyone.
I did. No, I did. I recorded
didn't
it.
Want to sing
I did.
For everybody.
I recorded me singing, Neil. I have it. I auto-tuned it.
I know. You didn't put it in.
Oh, I know. I know. As much of a fool as I'm making of myself just plain doing a video games podcast, I don't need to add to it.
Hey, fuck you. We're cool.
Oh, that's right.
Triple throwing sports, the code monkeys limited 500 points, features javelin. That's all I got.
All right.
Oh, my God, there are four.
What we're going to do with the downloads right now is just go through them, take time to talk about games that look interesting, and just read you off the details and do it very, very quick.
Hey, Neil, riddle me this. How many objects am I going to list? Just tell me how many objects. Javelin, discus, shot put, and hammer. How many was that?
That sounds like four.
So it's triple throwing sports.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. That's the first game on WiiWare from the Code Monkeys Limited, 500 points, features javelin, discus, shot put, and hammer. That is four things.
Maybe
what
you
the
throw
fuck,
each
guys?
One three times.
Yeah, I maybe.
I think quadruple maybe really either. Wouldn't hit it off with their market.
Yeah. Then they should have just, like, cut hammer out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nobody idea. Cares it's about the fucking hammer.
Yeah.
Also, we got the Very Hungry Caterpillars ABCs from Cyber Co. Limited, 800 points. You know that book that you made?
That's
read when
exactly
you
what I thought of.
Mm-hmm. That is exactly what this is. It's like a learning game. I guess that's cool for kids. Next up, we got Target Toss Pro Long Darts from Incredible Technologies in Endspace for 700 points. It's core variations on Long Darts. I know the Target Toss Pro games are very popular arcade machines in certain areas of the world.
Hmm.
And I know the WiiWare ports of the other ones have been kind of good. So that's cool. Lastly, for WiiWare, we got Astro Bugs Revenge from Sudden Games, 700 points. It's a color-matching puzzle game.
Oh, that's, you know, that. I haven't played many of those.
I played too many to fucking count. On DSiWare, first on the list, we got Nintendo Countdown Calendar for 200 points. You can program upcoming events. Too bad it wasn't on the fucking system already.
Well, look at it this way. When
just
you
built
have
in off
the announcement
head.
Of
It'll
an
be
announcement,
on 3DS.
You can count down towards that announcement.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, I guess
Neil, you could buy this and then have it count down until the launch of the 3DS.
Ooh, what if it gives you the date?
Yeah, just counting down to March. Dude, how cool would it be if the 3DS came out on my birthday, because it's in March?
Oh my gosh, that would be divine intervention.
That would be the best. I'll have to see what it is.
Your parents would have to buy you one then.
I hope it comes out on my birthday, January.
It probably won't, sorry. All right, we got Go Series 10-Second Run from GameBridge, 200 points. It's a little platforming title featuring a stick man and 50 levels. Might be kind of cool.
Kind of like N+, plus, maybe?
Was this 50 levels, 10 seconds each?
Maybe, I guess. I mean, it seems like a really short game. It's like, what is it?
2.5 hours.
I'm sure, yeah. It's probably a time
trap
kind of thing.
It'll be like the same length as Batman Brave and the Bold, except for it won't be as cool because it won't have the same animation and fun gameplay.
And I'm sure Stickman can't call fish.
Everyday Soccer.
Every day.
From Axis Games. It's 500 points. It's a soccer game, and it uses DS Download Play to play 1v1. I feel like this might be in some way related to the River City Soccer game that came out on DS, because that was also by Axis, I think.
Well, maybe.
It was based on, like, the Cuneo series, like the Super Dodgeball and River City Ransom.
Why would they make another one?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
This is the more generic version.
Yes. Huh. It's every day, though. DSiWare, we also got Xenonia from Game Evil USA.
Gameville.
800 points.
It's like Gameville. Zelda. It's like Zelda, basically, right?
But shit.
It's an RPG with anime visuals and different classes. I think it's more of like a classic, like, turn-based RPG.
No, it's not turn-based. No, it's...
Oh,
it's real-time action
so it's
RPG.
One of those wrong things of like RPGs, like how people call Zelda an RPG when I don't really consider it.
Well, no, this has leveling up and skill trees.
Oh, okay, cool.
I played it on the iPhone. It's more akin to Diablo with Zelda visuals, but it's
I'm
a
there.
Bad game.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
I was gonna say that actually sounds really good.
No. But... It's extremely repetitive. It feels like they just went down a list, and Gameville does this a lot, by the way. They just go down a list, what does an RPG need? And then they just make sure they have some amount of that in the game. And that's good enough.
Lots of ellipses
it
in
doesn't,
the script?
Tons. It doesn't have to be fun. It just has to be there. And that is their, like, standard.
Hey, you know, why haven't they released Diablo on DS? I would buy that. It's perfect.
That would be
perfect
really
platform
awesome.
For Diablo.
Because they're too busy.
Because Blizzard doesn't
making...
make console games or handheld games.
Yeah, that's true.
Not StarCraft 64. StarCraft 64.
Success.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe Gameloft will make a Diablo clone.
Yeah, didn't Diablo come out on the PlayStation 1, I think?
It did.
Yeah, it did.
Zach,
seems
Gameloft,
kind of bizarre in retrospect.
Gameloft already did make a Diablo clone. It's called Dungeon Hunter.
Wow, really?
Probably on DSiWare.
Yeah,
maybe I should buy that.
No, it's not on DSiWare yet. It's on the iPhone, which means it'll probably come to the DSiWare.
Yeah, it'll be there eventually.
It'd be four times the price.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last for DSiWare, we got Fizz from DK Games. It's 200 points. It's a puzzle game involving creating rings of energy. That Fizz, I guess.
That sounds pretty meta.
Yeah, and we got Virtual Console. We actually had a game. Arrow the Acrobat 2 for 800 points from Sunsoft on the
Jeez.
Nintendo.
Another
Yay.
Sunsoft
so that's
game.
Cool. Yeah, and that's it for newscast number 27. But before we go, let's mention one more time, we are doing a Shantae Risky's Revenge Game Club.
Woo.
The game comes out on October 4th, this upcoming Monday. Pick up the game. For
Get your 1,200 Wii points ready.
Yes, we got 1,200 Wii points to... Or Nintendo DSi points.
Oh my god, it's $12?
Yeah, well, it's the full game. Originally,
they were going to put it out in episodes.
It's $12.
It's the most expensive DSiWare game to date, but also probably one of the most anticipated.
Well, I'm still going to buy it.
Cave Story was?
I'm still going to buy it. They have me by the balls, but...
Yeah.
$12. Wow, okay.
No, I hear you. I think it's a little overpriced.
I don't like the $12 price point.
I wish it was $10.
Yeah.
It's round.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, $10 makes more sense.
What am I going to do with the change after that?
Game Loft.
No.
Buy Mighty Flip Champs.
Oh.
Crystal Monsters.
Is that, how much is that?
That is 800 points.
Well,
maybe that's why it's 1,200 points.
That might be it, but then I'm buying it.
Which colors do you not have yet?
Which what?
What?
Which notebook colors don't you have yet?
Oh, you're right. Now, actually, I'm waiting for them to come out with crap brown so it matches my DSi XL.
Oh, well.
I'm holding out. It'll come. It'll come.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, that's it for this episode. Be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave a review. We like it when people review us.
You know what? I looked at my review of the newscast that I left a long time ago, and I said you guys should leave it at 3 hosts.
So get the fuck out of here.
Oh, no, that means you gotta
go,
Neil.
You're fired, Zach.
Oh.
Oh, no.
I like how we are. And I hope everyone else does, too. If you agree or disagree, you can email us at newscast@nintendoworldreport.com. And also, if you want to email your thoughts about Shantae, to newscast@nintendoworldreport.com, or we will, or if not, we will create a forum thread. Either way,
yes.
We're just going to create a forum thread for Shantae for this game club discussion.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
Email, hey, you know what? You know
subscribe,
what? There's going to be
game.
A virtual console for Game Boy games on the 3DS. Maybe we'll get the original.
Ooh.
Maybe.
Ooh.
Yeah, Game Boy Color games.
Hell yeah.
Exciting prospect.
I actually think that would probably happen.
Hell yeah.
I know that Way 4, Capcom published that originally?
Yes.
Well, let's be honest here. Like...
I have a feeling Capcom, Way Forward, and Nintendo could work something out to get Shantae on virtual handheld.
Let's be honest here. When you look at the amount of games on Game Boy and Game Boy Color that are quality, you're looking at like 3-5% of the entire library. Like,
you've got
that
Pocahontas.
Many really good games.
You've got Mary Kate and Ashley.
Yeah,
and you got Pokemon.
These are
You got Kid Dracula. Kid Dracula.
And that Backstreet Boys game.
Oh come
what
on,
I'm
Link's Awakening.
Is that either the releases
Kid
are going to be either the releases are going to be complete crap most of the time, or they're going to actually take the time and put out the games that people want to play. So.
That's true.
Yeah.
If they do the latter,
it'll be a mix of both,
which is no guarantee because we've seen the state of virtual console now anyway. But for a while there, they did a really, really great job with the service. So
No, I mean, even looking at virtual console now, even though they release 1 to 2 games every month or two or whatever,
from Sunsoft,
we've been on a good streak lately where we've had like a game every episode of Newscast, which is good.
From Sunsoft,
we also do bi-weekly episodes, so.
Yeah, well, that's why it's every 2 weeks. But even still, I mean, if you look at what's on Virtual Console, it's fucking incredible. It's like a museum for 1985 to 2000, pretty much.
I admit, I did just buy Kirby's Dream Land 3.
I will probably be buying Yoshi's Story because I think it won. Radio.
Oh, it's gonna win.
Retroactive.
If it didn't already, it's gonna.
Or I think it ends. Shit.
I was hoping
this will not be going out
it.
By the time it's over. I'm pretty sure Yoshi's Story is gonna win, but
yeah, I think
we'll
three
know
people
by the time
voted
this is
for
up.
Ogre's Battle.
No. We had, or maybe the bars were just close.
We'll,
but when
we'll,
I looked,
we'll talk about this post show.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of good games on there. Of course, they're missing a lot of there's not that many N64 games. Yoshi's Island isn't there, stuff like that. But there's still a shit ton of good games on Virtual Console.
Oh yeah,
I agree.
A lot of imports, stuff like that. Like, I wouldn't call it a thrilling success, but I would call Virtual Console a success in some regard.
Certainly been a good experiment, and it'll be something to build on for the Virtual Game Boy.
Exactly. And odds are, let's make bold predictions now. Do you guys think Game Boy Advance games will ever come to virtual handheld?
Yes.
Oh,
if so,
yeah,
when?
Absolutely.
When?
When? Launch day.
Yeah.
Well,
no.
launch day of the service, not necessarily the system. I'm not going to say the virtual console for handheld will be. I'm not going to say the virtual handheld will be on.
I'm
going to
say
launch,
it will be announced at GDC 2012 that Game Boy Advance games.
Well, hold on.
Wow. And one of the first games will be Advance Wars.
That's my prediction. I'm going to lay it down right now.
Well, is there going to be another download cap for these virtual Game Boy games and WiiWare or 3DSware games?
I hope not.
Because that could affect Game Boy Advance games.
No. But Nintendo doesn't limit virtual console games, does it? I mean, like, they're not going to release Ocarina of
Time. Well, I think
it's
also like they're not
going to
be that huge.
No, they're tiny files.
Like, there is a limit on how, like, the biggest games you'll have are going to be N64 games, which are still pale in comparison.
That's true. They're much bigger than a Game Boy Advance game. What am I talking about?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, I would like to see Game Boy Advance games on there, because there are a lot that I haven't played that I'd like to play.
Huh.
Well, we've rambled on
for a lot.
We've
got a show ending? Yeah?
Yeah. That's the end of the show, guys! Bye.
Oh, bye! Bye!
Email, subscribe, bye!
Bye,
Game
everybody.
Club, Shantae, bye!
Bye!
Bye! I'm gonna clip it before you said that, Zach.
And I'm pressing stop.
Hello and welcome to NWR Newscast Post Game. This is a little segment that we're going to throw on after the show, mainly because it has no real relevance to Newscast at all, or even really NWR, because it's not really related to Nintendo.
Or even the video gaming world at large.
Yeah, exactly. It's sort of a tiny little game that I've started playing today after hearing about it for the last couple of weeks or so. And it turns out that Nathan not only has been playing it as well, but he's talked about it on the show before and apparently didn't even pay attention. So Zach and Neil have bid us farewell, and it's just going to be the two of us for this segment.
Yeah, they booked out of here once they heard what we were talking about.
Yeah, so we're going to be talking about a little game called Minecraft. And you may have seen it. It's been on Penny Arcade. Some other podcasts have been talking about it lately. I myself heard about it on the Joystick podcast where Justin McElroy really funny dude. He talked about the game for about a good 15 minutes or so on the Joystick podcast.
He did.
And I was so fascinated by his description of the game that I went out and picked it up almost as soon as I had heard it. I hadn't really had a chance to play it, though, until today. And I've just been addicted to this game for the last 5 or 6 hours. I had to pry myself away from the game just to record the show tonight.
I've been addicted for about 5 or 6 weeks.
Yeah, so Nathan, why don't you tell me how you heard about this game?
How did I hear about it? I think I actually heard it mentioned on the Joystick podcast way back when. Yeah,
okay.
But I think they kind of looked at the game, kind of glanced at it and said, eh, whatever. And I thought it sounded cool. So I went and looked it up, and turns out, freaking awesome game. And it totally took me by surprise, as I'm sure it did with you. Because
yeah, I really didn't know what I was doing when I first booted it up. Like, I ran around just, like, beating up on cows for, like, Hold on. My wife is writing a note to me.
Andy, get out of the house. You have 10 minutes.
Okay. My wife was over-listening to our podcast and was concerned that I had not actually said the name Minecraft yet. but I have.
We have
thanks.
Said Minecraft.
Thanks, editor. We can edit all this out.
Oh, it's staying in. This is post-game.
Oh, fantastic. Okay. Anyway, so I guess I'll just kind of like go over. I'll kind of describe the game the same way that Justin did on that podcast.
Sure.
To save you all the listen, or save you all you listeners the trouble of going to listen to it yourself.
Do you want me to do it? I've evangelized this game.
Oh, sure. Please,
countless
go
times.
For it.
Okay. Yeah. So Minecraft is a world comprised entirely of large block segments. There's a fixed amount of blocks in the world, and if you want to build anything with these blocks, you have to first tear them down. and tearing them down requires the making of tools, thus the crafting in Minecraft. So essentially what you're trying to do is build cool things like a castle or a bridge, just whatever you feel like making, and you're doing that by taking blocks from existing places in the world, maybe modifying them, and then replacing them into the world. So it's almost like you have a giant set of Legos that's already set up, and you're tearing pieces down and building it back up again how you desire. And a big component... Go ahead.
I was going to say, one of the really compelling things about that gameplay mechanic is that you're doing it in a living, breathing world that kind of resembles like a WoW environment.
You are.
Like,
but
you've got an ocean, you've got a forest, you've got a mountain, you've got a beach.
Yeah, we should be clear that it's not an MMO, that you can play it multiplayer. It's mostly based on surviving in this world. You're just thrown into a giant randomized world, and usually randomized worlds are just god-awful ugly or made out of clear-cut segments. This is, I don't know how he wrote the programming for this, but the environments managed to look not really natural, but, you know, within that world they look plausible and they are gorgeous. You know,
it's just, it's breathtaking. It's all these little Lego block-like segments, but the scenery is breathtaking.
Right. And so what happens is, like, as you take these blocks down, if I take down, like, a piece of wood from a tree, I can split that into planks and further split it into sticks. And out of those components, I can make, in an in-game menu, a pick or a torch using sticks and coal. And all these items...
Yeah,
you can make a sword, you can make armor, you can make ladders. So you can, you know, like, feasibly build a tower and climb up it, or build a mine shaft and take the ladder down. You can build mine tracks. You can build mine carts. You can even build a computer.
Yeah, they have circuitry torches that I've seen. I haven't played with that part of the game really at all yet.
I'm working on a calculator right now, so we'll see how that rolls.
Wow.
Yeah, I
need to bust out my old computer science textbook and figure that out.
I made a calculator in Little Big Planet PSP, and right as I got to the very final stages, the physics started messing up because I had too much going on, and it was really disappointing, but it seems like it's going to work in Minecraft.
I can't fathom why it wouldn't.
Right. Just limitations of the game's engine, maybe. But I don't think it's taking up that much. I guess my calculator had some mechanical components in Little Big Planet PSP, which is why it went bust. But yeah, you could really do a lot in this game.
And one of the really interesting parts about this game is that the game is split into day-night segments, kind of similar to the way, like, Ocarina of Time does it, but a little slower pace than that.
Yeah.
Just sort of, like, every 20 minutes or so, it'll swap from day to night. And at night, the bad guys come out. And
right.
At the start of the game, you can't do anything to fight these bad guys. I've been playing the game for several hours now, and there's still only very little that I can do to prevent.
At the start of the game, you were so weak.
Yeah. And the bad guys only come out at night, so basically the game is split into, like, 20 minutes of having fun, sort of tearing down the environment and constructing maybe a shelter or maybe, you know, some sticks, some weapons. And then it's split into 20 minutes of absolute terror because you're running for your life trying desperately not to get killed by zombies or giant spiders.
Exploding zombies.
Yeah, those are awesome.
Oh, my God. Which, by the way, you can get gunpowder from.
Ooh.
And build TNT.
I did not know that.
Uh-huh.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things about this game that sort of kind of immediately set off maybe like an alert in my brain was that this game in its current state, which, by the way, is alpha, it's very early on, it's unplayable without the wiki that I found online to go along with
without
it.
Without a wiki to tell
There's no menu for what you can build. There's no, like, in-game tutorial. There's nothing that says, okay,
it's true.
If you put two sticks together, you're gonna get a torch. If you put some sticks with some coal, you'll get a torch or, you know, whatever. All of the crafting in the game is based on recipes.
Yes.
And none of the recipes are included with the purchase of the game. So.
Some of them kind of make sense, and I actually happened upon them, like, accidentally or through logic. Mm-hmm. Like, I figured out how to build a door just based on, well, this is how the game works. Maybe this will make a door, and it worked. But yeah, I see where you're coming from. And actually, the first day is really hard, or actually the first night. It's so hard to survive because you don't know what to do. But that's some of the fun of it, you know? figuring it out.
It's sort of, it's almost like it's got a little bit of survival horror element.
It does. Yeah, it does.
I mean, if you die, really all you do is just respawn, but you lose all everything you're carrying on hand, which means
Although you can go back and find it.
You can find all everything or most of the things?
Everything.
Everything
will be there. Some of it scatters kind of far away. The only time when it won't come back is if you fall in lava.
Okay, I haven't found any lava yet. I haven't gotten quite that far underground.
Right.
But you'll find that one of the things you want to do early on is actually build a chest, because then you can put all of your goodies in your chest.
Oh, yeah.
And keep it out of harm's way.
Yeah, you want to start off the first day basically building a small house. Inside, you put torches. So you just enclose yourself in a small area, because monsters can spawn wherever there's darkness.
Yes.
So if you make a well-lit small area, monsters can't spawn inside of there. And when the sun comes up, the monsters should burn up and disappear, and you're safe. Although I've noticed some stick around.
Monsters will come into a lighted area from elsewhere.
Yeah, they're not affected by light.
They just won't start where there's light.
Exactly. Which is why I was suggesting to you that you build a walled-in sort of perimeter that the monsters can't get through and light the entire interior, which is the way to go.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I've done. So my experience with the game, I booted up a level and kind of just dicked around for a good 2 to 3 days. I wasn't really sure what I was doing, and I had figured out that I needed to build
2 to 3 in-game days, you should clarify.
Yes, not actual days. I kind of figured out that I needed to build a workbench fairly early on, or mm-hmm. you can't do most anything else.
No, you're going to need a pick. So
you can craft on a 2x2 grid in your inventory screen, which basically means you can craft using, you know, four spaces. But almost all the recipes require more than that. So
right.
One of the first things you have to do is you have to build yourself a workbench. And sort of I kind of dug a hole into the side of this little seaside hill by the ocean and put my workbench in there.
And that's a great choice early game, because you can't get zombies walking in the water towards you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So after I did that, then eventually I built a furnace there. One of the things I didn't realize early on was that I could take the blocks of wood and stone that I was digging up and actually use those as building blocks for my shelter. That took me a lot longer than it should have to figure out.
Oh, yeah. So every block you pick up, essentially, you can place back down in the world and make walls or anything, you know, you care to.
I waited so long to figure that out that I was building a house out of brick before I realized I could have built it with something else. And brick requires finding, like, 5 or 6 different other ingredients in the natural world before you can get brick. You have to find stone. You have to build a stone furnace first. You have to mine coal. You have to get or a stick. You can use a stick to light the furnace as well.
Yes, you can.
And then you have to.
Well, you can also use planks, and they last longer.
Okay.
FYI.
You can also then you have to go find clay, which is sort of not super easy to find. It's by water, but it's in kind of it's in chunks, kind of far apart from each other.
You can find it frequently, but it's often in small pockets.
Yeah. So anyway, that's probably, you know, as much as we need to describe the basic principle of the game.
Right.
I guess I'm just really blown away by how the very idea of it is super flexible.
It
you
is.
Can apply this to so many. It's kind of like it's very much a sandbox, mm-hmm. which in the sandbox games don't even really appeal to me that often. I'm not like a GTA fan by any means.
Nor am I
generally
actually.
Feel like I need more direction than most sandbox games will give me. But mm-hmm. there's just so many cool things to see in this world that they've given me that I just want to explore it all. But
right.
But I can't explore yet because I've got
because you got to build
armor
up
for
and
myself.
Even
I've got to.
Yeah, even once you've got your system down, you can't venture all that far without it turning into night. You know,
so you've got to have weapons and armor on you or you're screwed.
You've got to, and even sometimes then, you will still be mm-hmm. screwed. So you got to keep enough stuff with you so you can build like a fort,
shelter.
If you will. And actually, if you go to my main hub and stand on top of my tower and look around, you will see little guard posts on every mountain that I can see. Of course, the game world extends essentially forever. I'm sure there's some theoretical limit somewhere, but you can just keep going. And so I've covered a very small area of.
I assumed it was circular. I figured if I kept going, eventually I would come back on where I'd already been. But you're telling me
I
can keep going indefinitely.
There's an amazing YouTube video called like "Flying Through Minecraft" or something, where someone's put like a fly command on the character so it just zips through the world, and they just fly in a straight line for almost 10 minutes, and it doesn't even end. Wow. They just fade it out.
That's incredible.
And you, as you're flying through, you see these crazy things like giant floating islands in the sky, or you'll see huge overhanging cliffs and lava, waterfalls, stuff like that. God, yeah.
If you're interested in this game, here's what I would suggest. I would suggest going and like watching a YouTube video on the basic mechanics of the game to get an idea of what the game plays like. And then I would there's a trailer out there. I saw it on Kotaku. You can probably just Google Minecraft, Kotaku, and then the phrase, "This is Minecraft."
Yeah, or you can just go straight to YouTube and type in "This is Minecraft," and it'll pop up.
That game, that trailer gives you an idea of what is possible in the game. And
there's also a free-to-play mode.
Like, I just couldn't believe what I was looking at when I was watching that trailer based on what I had played so far. Because I think you have to have a little bit of context to really get...
To really process, what's going on.
Because otherwise it just looks like a Lego RPG.
Right. And I think a comparison we should make, or rather, contrast we should make is with Little Big Planet. A lot of people have pointed towards that and gone, oh, it's like Little Big Planet. It's not. I found that the creation mode in Little Big Planet was not enjoyable for me, other than like the ultimate goal of like, oh, someday I'll have a calculator. But the mechanics of it are very much like a menu. Minecraft, you're playing the whole thing.
You're playing the creation mode. That's
right.
The game. The game is.
And you're having to worry about your survival. You know, so there is that added element of there's actually a mechanic in here that I have to worry about that will affect how I build things.
Mm-hmm. How's the performance on your end? I've noticed that like the game on my end performs pretty well for the most part, but every minute or two, it like chugs.
What you might want to do is go mess with some of the settings. I don't know what kind of rig you're playing on.
I'm playing on an entry level but fairly recent MacBook.
Okay.
Which
that's probably similar specs to my little HP laptop, and I have to turn it down a little bit. And the reason is because of how much of the world it's rendering. So you're not looking at the whole world, but it renders a large square of it.
Yeah, what I found is that it doesn't seem to matter what setting I have it on. It runs the same,
really?
Which is fine most of the time, and then occasionally it chugs.
Well,
I Googled
it doesn't do
that
on my...
having problems with the... Sorry, go ahead.
It doesn't do that on my desktop computer, which is considerably more powerful, but we also have to consider that the game is an alpha.
Yeah, that's kind of my thought.
Then again...
I'm kind of wondering exactly how the server structure works, because I know that you connect to the server when you start playing, but I'm playing offline. So
it's mostly an authentication.
Exactly.
It's an authentication kind of deal. And it will... I do think it backs up your saves somewhere. It maybe not. It lets you sync your character.
I
have a custom character.
Both.
Go ahead.
Sorry, you can go ahead.
Okay, yeah. If you play it on two computers, you won't see your save file show up somewhere else.
That's correct.
But it does sync stuff like your custom character. So I made a guy that looks like me, basically blue jeans and a black t-shirt with a beard. And you have to download like a skin editing program. I think there's a Google version.
Okay.
I'll show you a link to it
Crazy.
Later
I
on.
You could do that.
But yeah, it's really easy. It's just like a little paint interface, and you just paint like front face, front body, front legs.
When do you ever see your character? Just in multiplayer when other people see it?
In multiplayer and whenever you bring up your inventory, you can see your character standing there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So,
Mostly multiplayer.
I'm loving this game. And I'm kind of hoping that someone out there who listens to the podcast will be interested in playing it in multiplayer, because I think this could be a fantastic multiplayer experience, but it's sort of a long-term
project, most definitely,
right?
It's most definitely a fun multiplayer game. I've got some buddies that I've been playing with for the past few weeks, And it is just, you know, we sit down, and we also play Civ 5, but we play a bunch of Minecraft, and we got this world we're working on. And it's really fun. We've made, like, a great wall kind of deal. And actually, in multiplayer, zombies don't spawn yet. I think some servers have it to where you can set up so zombies spawn. But our server that we're running has no zombies. So right now, we're just free to run around with impunity and build whatever we want, even during the night. So, but we've constructed sort of a fortress so that when zombies do spawn, they'll be nowhere near us. And actually, that's a major convenience to have at the start of the game. And,
absolutely.
Yeah, it's just fun getting together and just building stuff, you know, and like, I like when games take out the whole competitive element, you know, I tend not to like games where I'm directly competing against my friends in the same room. I get a little aggravated and, you know, tension rises and you end up getting pissed at the other guy. But, you know, this is a purely cooperative effort. And, like, we have made a mine that goes all the way down to the core of the Earth. And we have a sprawling cave network inside of it. And, like, giant rooms just for storage. And a quarry.
That's so incredible.
And you're actually able to build signs. So we've built signs that direct you around the mines so we never get lost. And
so yeah. Can I do multiplayer with you in that world, or is it tied to the
two
accounts?
Yes, you can. No. Okay. It's tied to the server. So my friend has all the server files on his computer. So if he's playing and he's running his server, you can just join up and it will create a file for you inside of a server.
Okay.
So that whenever you come back, you'll have whatever items you had in that specific game world with you. When you come back.
Sure. I'm kind of curious to see, like, I know you can play the game in your browser, or you can download the executable, which
you could download a client.
That's what I've been doing. So I'm curious if my save games are going to be there if I try to play in the browser now.
I think they will be.
Okay. I've been playing on two different computers, and I've had to copy my save game
I tested that a while back. I don't remember the result. But,
cool.
Yeah, anyways, did you have any, like, sort of... You're just starting up, so do you have any kind of odd questions or how-tos kind of deals?
I guess I'm still struggling on like how to get some of the materials, but it's kind of coming together slowly for me. Like I'm finding that in order to get coal, you just have to dig underneath or around stone, but it seems to be a little bit further underground.
The way to get coal is primarily, there is a lot under the surface, and you can find it once you get a quarry going. So basically, dig a mine shaft down probably about 6 or 7 blocks, and then just start digging out from that. And, you know, place torches intermittently so you don't have any dark in there, and you'll hit coal. But a quicker way is probably short term, you want to run around the surface and look at the cliff sides. There's a ton of coal in them.
Okay, in the cliff sides, right on.
In cliff sides, that's actually where you find a bunch of coal, and sometimes iron.
Is there any way to explore the bottom of the ocean?
I don't know. Yeah, I have seen people do it. I've seen people that have
like
underwater structures.
Wow.
There's stuff beneath the ocean, but I don't know about. Like, I have made a cave, and I was trying to extend it to an island, and I kind of misjudged the depth of the ocean floor, and at some point,
so
I realized that I...
You
yeah, I killed myself.
Cave? Nice.
Yeah, it was horrible. It was a train wreck. But, you know,
so
it was fun.
The game world has a lot of... built-in caverns. Like you'll want to mine your own caverns to a certain extent, but there are a fair number of built-in ones. And is there any way to carry light with you, or do you have to just bring torches to
currently you have to bring torches and put them on the wall as you go? And I think that's something they're going to fix in the future, or it's definitely something they should fix, because that is a pain.
At the same time,
if you're exploring a cavern and you have to drop torches to explore, it serves as a little breadcrumb trail. So it helps you from getting lost. You'll be able to find your way back.
I've gotten lost in caverns several times.
Oh, it's so easy.
And it's so dark.
It's dark. There might be like some water flowing around. and there might be zombies.
Yeah. I played it on two different computers, and on one of them, when it was dark out, I could still kind of see around, but on my MacBook, mm-hmm. when it was dark out, I couldn't see anything.
It's just pitch black.
Pitch black.
Oh, yeah.
Like
I've had that problem
sometimes.
You can
see a little bit of it. You can see a hint, but for the most part, it's super dark. So I'm kind of thinking, okay, now I just got my house completed. I'm still kind of shaping the inside a little bit and kind of setting it up the way I want, but I'm trying to figure out what my next immediate goal should be.
Your
now
next
that
move.
I've got,
so
yeah,
here's
now
where
now that I've got shelter.
Yeah, here's where you find out like if you're really into Minecraft or not, because this is when like does building stuff sound fun to you kicks in. Because that's what you're just going to be doing, you know. So what I did when I first, after I got my initial house set up, I built that sort of walled-in area. And it sounds like you're up against the ocean, so that's not really a thing you can do.
I'm kind of on like a seaside shore. Like I'm not that close. I'm not like right up against the ocean, but I'm just sort of like I'm built into a hill. Like I have a little hobbit hole, basically.
Yeah. So like, kind of a fun thing to do is. Building a tower. If you're gonna make your house like in a flat area, and you're not like building into a mountain, which I did once, and it's actually pretty cool to do. Just start digging down, build ladders, and bring a bunch of torches. Make yourself a little quarry and start digging outwards, and then you'll get a bunch of minerals and useful things. But while you're doing that, you'll get a bunch of stone. So what to do with that stone? I built a tower, and you know, so you have something to build up while you're tearing down a quarry and finding iron, so maybe you can make some buckets or mine tracks or something like that. And then just build a nice little tower, and then what that gives you is the ability to climb up towards the top and sort of scout out without having to, you know, while you're still somewhat vulnerable, you don't have to venture out that far at night to see kind of what's around you.
Sure.
You don't have to worry about getting caught at night. Yeah. So just
make yourself a nice little lookout.
I'm
definitely going to do that. I think also what I'm going to do is I'm going to remove the beach by my front door and just make a little walkway. But aside from that walkway, it's going to be a cliffside out to the ocean, which would basically eliminate one way that monsters can get to my front door. They'll only have one.
Yeah, you always want to keep monsters away from your actual structure, because if an exploder is kind of near you and he sees you, he will explode. Even if, you know, like maybe you're on the other side of a door, he will still explode. And you're screwed because it blows up.
And it'll ruin your house.
It'll ruin your house,
yeah. Inside of your house.
Yeah, like stone is a little more resistant
to
it. Yeah.
Yeah, and brick's pretty strong, isn't it? Because my walls are brick.
Yeah, materials do make a difference.
But my roof is stone. My roof is stone because I realized halfway through my brick house that I didn't need to build out of brick, and brick was a pain to make. So I built my roof out of stone.
So if you want to build, like, a diamond house, it's probably invincible, but, you know.
Here's a question for you. I started up one game, and it was snowing, and it killed my computer, like, my little shitty Windows XP laptop. Now, does that come and go, or is that world always going to be snowing?
That world will always be snowy, so immediately leave.
Yeah, I deleted it. And
I don't care for the snowy levels.
It wouldn't be playable.
No.
Well, it wouldn't be playable because my computer wouldn't run it.
Oh, okay.
Problem.
See, I don't
my
care for
computer.
It just because
I'm doing it on two computers.
It just kind of looks a little more ugly to me. I like the vibrant colors of the world as it is, the greens and blues, and that just white. It's so depressing. But I actually, in a snowy world, I made a tunnel, an above-ground tunnel, somewhere like an enclosed hallway, just like with a roof, all the way across to an island, and all the while, I was just placing dirt to make my tunnel and then putting a torch by me so monsters wouldn't spawn. I turned around, and I had been building it over a lake, a frozen lake, and the entire walkway had melted.
Oh, God.
It was like, oh,
that
crap.
Sucks.
Yeah. So that's when I quit that
that's
one.
Funny. So are there other weather environments or just snow and not snow?
No, it's snow and not snow. Yeah.
Okay.
Although I'm cool with not snow.
There's so much promise with this. Like, they could really just morph all that into, like, sometimes it rains, sometimes it snows, sometimes it's super hot out.
Well, like, and the environment changes because when it's in the snow, one benefit is that you can break up the snow that's on top of dirt and make snowballs and use that to fight monsters.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
That's
so that's
cool.
One small benefit. Yeah. And you can actually make blocks out of snow really easily. So, yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, that probably is about all the Minecrafting we have to talk about here on
we've talked half an hour of Minecraft.
Game. I love it. I'm absolutely in love with this game. It costs about $13. It's in euros on their website, and it's an alpha. I think when it goes to beta, they're going to double the price.
They're going to up the price, but you don't have to pay for that.
Yeah, it's considered a half price beta or half price alpha version right now. Mm-hmm. So if you want to get in at half price, which is about 10 euros, which is about $14, I would hop over and pick it up. I don't think there's a way to try it right now before you buy it.
There is.
I'm not sure if that's – oh, there is. Okay, cool.
At least when I purchased it, you could just go to the Minecraft website and you could play Minecraft Classic, which just runs in the browser. What that is it's essentially the same, except you have infinite blocks and there's no zombies, and so you don't have to worry about your health or anything. You're just running around creating. Okay. But that gives you a taste of how the world kind of works.
Sure.
Yeah.
Alrighty, well, Minecraft, check it out. Send us an email if you've played it, if you want to play online sometime. I would be down for trying that out.
Yes,
to stop talking about Minecraft so I can go back in and start playing Minecraft again.
Oh, God, I've got homework to
and
do.
With that,
it's going to be rough.
Well, thanks for chatting about Minecraft with me. And
it was fun.
We'll be doing this post-game occasionally.
Leave feedback on this if you liked it. This is not something we're planning on doing every week by any means, but when the occasion
sometimes
does rise.
We got stuff to say, and it doesn't really fit into the context of newscast, and we don't really need a fifth podcast on the site or however many we have now. So
no.
We figure we'd just tack it on here. So.
Yep.
Alrighty. Thanks for stopping in and listening to us talk incessantly about this little game.
See ya.
We'll see you next time. Bye.